We've already seen in our earlier segments in this series on the new birth that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were born again when they were baptized with the Spirit of God. The disciples were born again on the day of Pentecost. Now we want to deal with another issue that's associated with this, and that has been brought to the fore in the last few decades of the 20th century, and that is, does a person receive the Spirit before he is baptized with it? Now, we know from what we've already studied by the revelation of God and using the common sense reasoning that He's given us that the disciples did not receive the Spirit before they were baptized with it on the day of Pentecost. Were they an exception or were they the rule? Well, let's look at some examples in the book of Acts of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and see what the Scriptures say about them. We could begin with the Samaritans, to whom Philip went preaching in Acts chapter 8. We know that when he went there preaching, they believed what he said. We're told that they received the word of God that Philip preached to them. He performed miracles, healing some of them, and the conviction for God came on them, and they repented. Did they receive the Spirit? Or did they have to wait to receive it until Peter and John came to lay hands on them? Well, what we're told in the Bible, in other words, the revelation upon which we must build an understanding, is that when Peter and John came from Jerusalem to where Philip had been preaching, when the news came to Jerusalem, Peter and John came to lay hands on the Samaritans that they might receive the Holy Ghost, because the Scriptures tell us, God's revelation is, that the Holy Ghost had fallen upon none of them. So they believed the Word of God when it was preached. They saw the power of God when it was shown to them through Philip's hands and his commands of his mouth working under the power of God. They believed it and they repented, but they did not receive the Spirit, even though you might call them believers. They were believers the way the disciples were before they received the Holy Ghost. They did not receive the promise of God. They did not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They did not receive the Spirit until Peter and John came and laid hands on them. What about the Apostle Paul's conversion? We're often told that he was converted on the road to Damascus, but that's contrary to the revelation that we have from God. We always must have the revelation of God as our foundation. Paul's own testimonies concerning his conversion show us that when he went to Damascus, Jesus sent a man named Ananias to Paul, who was blind. He had been blinded by the vision that Jesus had given him when Paul was on his way to Damascus to harm God's people. He was blind and he was ashamed of himself because he found out now that he had been persecuting God's own people. But Jesus sent Ananias, a faithful man full of the Holy Ghost, to the street called Straight to find this Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul. And the reason that Ananias was sent, his mission from Jesus, was to lay hands on this distraught man so that he could have his eyesight restored. That's number one. And number two, that he might receive the Spirit. Now, we've already seen that receiving the Spirit is the new birth. And the new birth is conversion. We've seen that too. You remember when Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. He told all the disciples, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll never see the kingdom of God. So, the Apostle Paul was not converted on the road to Damascus by that vision of Jesus. He was convicted of his sin on the road to Damascus. And conviction for sin and repentance always must precede the new birth. One must believe that God is there and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, Paul knew God was there and that Jesus was his son. And he diligently sought the Lord for 3 days, eating and drinking nothing. Ananias then came, and he laid hands on that young man Saul of Tarsus, who was confessing his sin and turning from them. And his eyesight was restored, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He received God's Spirit. He did not receive God's Spirit. He did not have his sins washed away. He was not born again or converted on the road to Damascus. He received the Spirit and had his sins washed away when Ananias laid hands on him and he received the Spirit. That's the revelation. That's what we are told. One time when Paul was giving his testimony, he said that Ananias came to him and said, "Now what are you waiting for, young man? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." The baptism of God's Spirit washes away sins. He was repentant for his sins, but he still had them until the Spirit came in. The same thing in Acts 19. In this chapter, Paul, as an apostle now, was traveling around, and he came to a group of disciples, men who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and he discerned that there was something missing in their lives. He discerned that, and he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" You see, there is a believing without receiving. Why didn't, think about this, if we can get into Paul's heart here and get into his mind, be reasonable. Now, when we read this revelation from God and ask ourselves, why did Paul say what he said? Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Why didn't Paul ask them or tell them, "Well, you've believed, so you have the Spirit"? He didn't tell them that. He told them, "You have believed, but have you received since that time? Since you began to believe in Jesus, have you received the Holy Ghost?" What is this question that Paul asked them? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul noticed, he discerned something in the Spirit that was absent in these disciples' lives, and it's absent in the lives of many believers today. If he had not noticed that something was absent, he would not have asked the question. It doesn't make any sense to ask this question unless the Apostle Paul saw that they were missing something. They were lacking the Spirit of God. He did not believe. He did not know about the doctrine that said, if once you believe that Jesus is your Lord, you have the Spirit. He knew nothing about that. In our day, much of the teaching in Christianity is that if you believe, you have already received the Spirit of God. If that were true, there would never have been a need for Paul to ask his question. But the Apostle Paul was not encumbered with the doctrines of men. He was liberated by the truth of God. He was moved by the Spirit of God. And meeting these disciples, these people who had believed that Jesus was Lord, he asked them the question, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And this question needs to be asked today of millions of people. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We ask that question of you. I do not ask you if you have been told that you have the Holy Ghost, but have you received the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, when he said, "Have you received the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" they said, "We have not heard whether there be any such thing as the Holy Ghost." In reality, many today have not heard. They may have heard the words Holy Spirit in some abstract philosophical form, but they have not been informed that there is an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost where you can feel something and know that it's happened to you. Paul responded to them, and this is most instructive. When they said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost," in Acts 19:2, in Acts 19:3, Paul asked this, and let's try to get into his mind. Paul responded when they said, "We have not heard that there is a Holy Ghost." He asked them then, "Unto what then were you baptized?" What kind of question is that in response to someone saying they've never heard about the Holy Ghost? "Unto what then were you baptized?" Paul was connecting receiving the Holy Ghost with a baptism. Isn't it reasonable to say that? He understood. His thinking was that receiving the Holy Ghost is the same thing as being baptized with the Holy Ghost. I understand that most of the people living today who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues the way that the Bible describes it so often, have been taught that they already had the Spirit sometime previous to that experience. Paul obviously knew nothing of that kind of doctrine. He wanted to know what kind of baptism these men had received if they didn't know about the Spirit. So we have all of these examples in the Scriptures clearly showing us that we do not receive the Spirit at some point and then later receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told the disciples, remember in Acts chapter 1, that they should receive the promise for in just a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Samaritans believed the word and repented, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost until John and Peter came and laid their hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul did not have his sins washed away, was not born again until Ananias came and laid hands on him to receive the Holy Ghost. And here in Acts 19, the Ephesian disciples knew nothing about the Holy Ghost and received it only when Paul laid his hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It says in Acts 19:6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They did not have the Spirit, even though they were believing in Jesus. They did not have the Spirit before Paul laid his hands on them. They didn't even know about it until he told them to expect it. There was one thing Paul told these men when he said, "What kind of baptism did you receive?" They said, "Well, John's baptism." And then Paul explained that they had not really received John's baptism. He said, "John came preaching. He came baptizing, saying something. John's baptism was not just a dunking in water or a baptism in water. It was a baptism with a message about another baptism that Jesus would give. And if you hadn't heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Jesus gives, you really hadn't had John's baptism." So he explained to them in Acts 19:4, he said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people," saying something, not silently, but saying something, "that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is Christ Jesus." Now, you could not have believed, truly believed John the Baptist preaching without being baptized by him. John baptized in the Jordan River every single person who truly believed in his message and in him as being sent from God. You cannot truly believe in Jesus and his gospel without being baptized by him with the Holy Ghost and fire. John was a pattern for Jesus. Everyone who truly believed in John received his baptism. They didn't receive his baptism at the moment they began to believe, but their really believing led them to the Jordan to be baptized by him. And when we really come to believe in Jesus, we are led to the place where He will baptize us with the Holy Ghost. That place may be on your knees by your bedside late at night. It may be driving in your car somewhere praying and talking to God. It's a spiritual place where Jesus meets you and your faith reaches out to Him and He fills you with the Holy Ghost, and you have not received the Spirit until He does that, even if you are believing in Him before then. That's what believing in Jesus is for. We believe in Jesus so that we will come to Him and receive from Him the blessing, the promise, the Spirit, the washing away of sins, the redemption, conversion, the new birth. What Jesus does for our souls, first of all, is to cleanse us. That's what receiving the Holy Ghost is all about. It washes sins away. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. It washes sins away. It's the same thing.